Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing fine. It's a little chilly
Bless
out.
Is the day.
40 degrees.
Ooh, a little chilly.
Beautiful.
And I got to go to work, but it's all right because it is still, this is a day that the Lord has made and we are rejoicing and glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with all of you this morning, family. Praying that you all are going to have a good, crisp day with the Lord. Brother Valerie, we got a lesson today. Oh, my. The title that God gave me is from the Psalm, the 51st Psalm. Creating me a clean heart, oh, God. And as I had studied your lesson that you're going to be reading this morning, Mother Valerie, in the Old Testament, all I could think of was, oh, my God, these people need a clean heart. It was so much crazy going on. You know, just, oh, horrific stuff. And again, women being treated like absolutely nothing. And it just broke me down. You know, and we're going to get started early today because it's a lot of word to go forth. The main thing that the children of Dan and the children of Ephraim needed clean hearts and right spirits within them. You know, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other God before me. And then, thou shalt not make any graven images. And what did they do but make graven images, worship other gods, stealing, killing, every perversion you can think of was in your the lesson today. So, Mother Valerie, I'm going to turn it over to you because it's a whole lot going on with the children of Ephraim and the children of Dan this morning. So, Mother Valerie, would you lead us in prayer today?
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for this day, for this is the day that you made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, strengthen your people, give us wisdom, and we just thank you for all that you do, have done, and will do. God, forgive us for all our sins, knowingly and unknowingly. Give Pastor the strength that she needs for today, for this 24 hour, and we thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a beautiful,
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful day.
It's a lovely day. It's 40 degrees. It's a little bit chilly outside. But other than that, everything is blooming. And, you know, I can't get over the lesson with Samson. You tell a person that you're going to do them harm. I'm going to do you evil. I'm a whore. And I'm going to sell you out for money. I'm going to do you evil. She told him that she was going to do him harm. And still Samson told her all his heart. I mean, how can you do something like that? When people say something to you, they mean exactly what they say. She told him, I'm going to do you harm. And he still was in lust. He still loved old Delilah. And she told him what she was up to. But he didn't believe
it. Like I said, she was a snake. She was a snake. She was a snake. She was a snake in... As I said, she was a snake in the vineyard, and he did not catch it, you know. Think about it.
Well,
even in the
she
beginning.
She told him, I'm going to bite you, and a snake is a snake.
She told him how many times. How many times did she pull the same stunt, and then he would, like, break the bond.
And
say, you're lying to me. You're not telling me the truth. But then the thing is, did she not say the Philistines are coming? Did he not get a clue from that?
Three times? The Father,
three times.
The Son, and the Holy Ghost. Three times. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to bite you. I'm a snake. I'm going to bite you. And he still didn't believe it. I mean, she didn't really, Delilah didn't deceive him. She didn't. She told him what she was going to do. Sold him out for money. It's just like Judah. Judah sold Jesus out for 13
except
for
she got
money
a whole lot more than Judah did. I'm sorry, a whole lot more than Judas did. She got a whole lot more than Judas did. Yeah, Judas got his 30 pieces. Delilah got 11,000 per person. She's like, hey, I want the big bucks.
And she got the big money for the big man. Thinking about that story last night, she told him exactly what she was going to do. Okay, I'm in Judges 17:1. Now, there was a man from the mountains of Ephraim whose name was Malchi, and he said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that was taken from you, on which you put a curse, even saying in my ears, here's the silver with me, I took it. And his mother said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my son. So when he had returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I have woefully dedicated silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, therefore, I will return it to you. Thus he returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver, gave them to the silversmith. He made it into a carved image and a molded image, and they were in the house of Malchi. The man Malchi had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, consecrate one of his sons who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. My goodness gracious me, it almost seemed like right now everybody's doing whatever they see right in their own eyes. If they decide they want to kill you, they kill you. It said in those days, there was no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah of the family of Judah. He was a Levite and was staying there. Man departed from the city of Bethlehem in Judah to stay wherever he could find a place. Then he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Malachi, as he journeyed. Malachi said to him, where do you come from? Said to him, I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, on my way to find a place to stay. Malachi said to him, dwell with me, be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, through the clothes and your sustenance. So the Levite went in. Then the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Malachi consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, live in the house of Malachi. Then Malachi said, now I know that the Lord would be good to me if I have a Levite as a priest. Life lessons. I have woefully dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a carved image. This woman tried to wed adultery with worship of the true God. We cannot serve God and anything else. We cannot worship God and something else. The Lord deserves our exclusive devotion. Wow. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Moses had warned against every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. But when God's people refused to obey him, that's exactly what starts to happen. And the result is chaos, as judges prove. I mean, this woman had silver, 1,100 shekels of silver, and she put a curse on it and gave it to the silversmith and told him to make idols so they could worship it?
It's wrong. It makes you, honestly, as you were talking, Mother, it makes you think of Delilah. Because, again, remember, she got 1,100 shekels of silver for Samson. And it's like, whoa. And when I read that, and I thought, that's the same amount of money that Delilah asked for Samson. You know, it makes you wonder, is this Delilah having her moment? You know, but of course that's not what it says in the Bible. We got to go by what the word says. But I thought, this lady, you know, he stole from his mama. His mama had cursed it. He gave it back to his mama. Then they go make idols of it. And I'm like, this is wrong. And then, again, created me a clean heart and a right spirit within me. There's no right spirit in here right now. There's no right spirit in Israel. None. Oh, I give it back over to you, Mother. But this is a good word this morning.
what it said was every man, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So this lady thought that was right. I mean, she put a curse on it, and then she said, may God bless you. She was doing what she thought was right in her own eyes. Life lesson. The Word of God makes clear that God's blessing does not come because of proper ritual or special connection to religious people. God's blessing comes to those who obey him. I mean, my mother is saved, and my daddy is a priest, and my dad is the pastor, so I know I'm good with God. I mean, people actually really do, even in this day and age, they think like that. But it says God's blessing don't come for special connection to religious people. Well, I know the pastor because the pastor is my mother or the pastor is my father. God's blessing come on those who obey him. Each and every one of us will stand in judgment for ourselves, whether we obey God's word. It can't be connected to people. I don't care who they are in the world. You can't get a blessing like that. You got to obey God for yourself.
Amen.
I'm on 18.
Excuse me, Mother, for just a moment. I've said this many a time. Nobody can go to heaven or hell for you. That's your own destination that you choose yourself. You know, if your mother's saved, that don't mean you're saved. Even though she may be on her knees praying for your salvation. But we each individually have to stand before God. We don't stand before God as a collective family. We stand before God individually. In the last day, God will make a determination for each person, not for the collective of people, but for each person, not by family, but by person. So, Mother, you're my godmother, but you can't go to heaven or hell for me. I can only do that for myself and how I choose to follow God. And that's why we must pray daily, Lord, get me a clean heart and a right spirit within me. We need God to take care of this. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to look up because we don't want to go down. Hallelujah. Oh, my God,
amen.
What a word.
Amen. But like the Bible was saying, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right. If I thought it was right to go to your house and steal, I went to your house and steal. So, and if I thought it was right to kill you, I killed you. But, I mean, that's what people did. And it looked like to me people are doing whatever right now. We got laws to obey, but people do what they want to do. They do. They feel like that they are grown, and they do what they want to do. So those days and these days are just about the same. We are really and truly living in the last days. I mean, I have lived to see that. In 4 months, I'll be 80 years old. We are living in God's last days. The signs of the end times are here. Chapter 18. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of the family from their territory, men of valor, from Zorah to Eshtanol to spy out the land, search it. They said to them, go search the land. So they went to the mountains of Ephraim to the house of Malchi and lodged there. While they were at the house of Malchi, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. He turned aside and said to him, who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What did you have here? He said to them, thus and so Malchi did to me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest. So they said to him, please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go would be prosperous. So he said to them, go in peace. Praise the Lord be with you on your way. So the 5 men departed and went to Lachish. They went to Lachish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There was no rules in the land, who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren of Zorah, Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it's very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth." 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah, Eshtaol, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kiriath-Jearim in Judah. Therefore, they called that place Mahanah Dan to this day, that it is west of Kiriath-Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Malchi. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laban answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in those houses in Ephrath household idols, a carved image, a molded image? Now therefore consider what you should do." So they turned aside there, came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Malachi, and greeted him. The 600 men, armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the five men had gone to spy out the land, went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, household idols, mold image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When they went into Malchus' house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" Said to him, "Be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. It is better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel." So the priest's heart was glad. He took the ephod, household idols, carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed, put the little ones, livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good faith from the house of Malchi, the men who were in the houses near Malchi's house gathered together, overtook the children of Dan, and they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Malchi, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" So he said, "You've taken away my gods, which I made in the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails me?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way. But when Malchi saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things Malchi had made and the priests who had belonged to him and went to Laban, to a people quiet and secure. They struck them with the edge of the sword, burned the city with fire. There was no deliverance because it was far from Sidon, and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belonged to Beth Rehob. So they built the city and dwelt there. They called the name of the city Dan, at the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laban. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves a carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershon, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests of the tribe of Dan into the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Malchi's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. They were praying to carve images, something that they made with their own hands. And you know that was against God. You can't make a carved calf and carve things and bow down to something that you made with your own hands. I mean, look like to me, well, that's just to me, look like they could see that was silly, that was crazy. You make something with your own hands, the silversmiths have made, and you say, "Oh, help me, God." They were doing a lot of foolish things. It was foolishness. Chapter 19. Came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, there was a certain Levite standing in the remote mountains of Ephraim. He took for himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. So the concubine played the harlot against him, went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, was there for a whole month. Then her husband arose, went after her to speak kindly to her and bring her back, having his servant and a couple of donkeys with him. So he brought him into his father's house, and when the father of the young woman saw him, he was glad to meet him. Now his father-in-law, the young woman's father, detained him, stayed with him 3 days. So they ate, drank, and lodged there. Came to pass on the fourth day that they rose early in the morning. He stood to depart, but his young woman's father said to his son-in-law, refresh your heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. So he sat down. Two of them ate and drank together. Then the young woman's father said to the man, please be content to stay all night and let your heart be merry. And when the man stood to depart, his father-in-law urged him, but he lodged there again. Then he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart. But the young woman's father said, please refresh your heart. So they delayed until afternoon, and both of them ate. And when the man stood to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the young woman's father said to him, look, the day is now drawing toward evening. Please spend the night. See, the day is coming to an end. Lodge here that your heart may be merry. Tomorrow go your way early so that you may get home. However, the man was not willing to spend that night, so he rose and departed and came opposite Jabesh, that is Jerusalem. With him, with the two saddled donkeys, his concubine was also with him. They were near Jabesh, and the day was far spent. And the servant said to his master, come, please, let us turn aside into this city of the Jebusites, lodge in it. So his master said to him, we will not turn aside here into a city of a foreigners who are not of the children of Israel. We will go to Gibeon. So he said to his servants, come, let us draw near to one of these places, spend the night in Gibeon or Ramah. And they passed by and went their way. The sun was down on them near Gibeon, which belonged to the Benjamin. They turned aside there to go to lodge in Gibeon. And when he went in, he sat down in the open square of the city, for no one would take them into his house to spend the night. Just then, an old man came in from his work in the field of Eden, who also was from the mountains of Ephraim. He was staying at Gibeon, wherein the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he raised his eyes, he saw the travelers in the open square of the city. And the old man said, where are you going? And where do you come from? Said to them, we are passing from Bethlehem in Judah toward the remote mountains of Ephraim. I am from there. I went to Bethlehem in Judah. Now I'm going to the house of the Lord, but there is no one who would take me into his house, although we have both straw and bottles for our donkeys and bread and wine for myself, for your female servant, and for the young man who is with your servant. There is no lack of anything, old man said. Peace be with you. However, let all of your needs be my responsibility. Only do not spend the night in the open square. So he brought him into his house, gave father to the donkeys, and they washed their feet, ate and drank. As they were enjoying themselves, suddenly certain men of the city, perverted men, surrounded the house, beat on the door. They spoke to the master of the house, the old man saying, bring out the man who came to your house that we may know him carnally. But the man, the master of the house, went out to meet them and said to them, no, my brother, I beg you, do not act so wickedly. Seeing this man has come into my house, do not commit this outrage. Look, here is my virgin daughter and the man's concubine. Let me bring them out now. Humble them, do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing. Men would not heed him. So the man took his concubine, brought her out to them, and they knew her, abused her all night into morning. And when the day began to break, they let her go. Then the man came at the door, dawned, the day was dawn, fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master arose in the morning, opened the door of the house, went out to go his way, there was his concubine, fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, get up, let us be going. There was no answer. So the man lifted her onto the donkey, and the man got up and went to his place. When he entered his house, he took a knife, laid hold of his concubine, divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it said, no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt to this day. Consider it, confer, and speak up. I look up the word confer. Confer means let's discuss this with someone in order to exchange opinions or get advice before reaching a decision. They wanted to confer all that had happened to this concubine, life's lesson. The man took his concubine, brought her out to them. When everyone does what is right in his own eyes, before long moral conditions sink to the perverted level of Solomon, we need the word of God to show us the right way. You know, that was something. When they went in to take hold of the man that was in the house, they spoke to the master of the house. The old man said, bring out the man who came to you that we may know him. But the man gave his virgin daughter. He said that this man here is under my protection. Take my virgin daughter and do whatever you want to her. He said, they humbled them and do with them as you please. But to this man, do not do such a vile thing. Isn't that amazing? That
a lot of
this
well,
man,
you know,
well,
Mother,
man,
is
was he an angel or was he a
no,
man of God?
He was not. He was just a man. And again, it's,
okay.
Like I said, it's the same story as Lot. Lot offered his daughters to the men of Sodom, and the angels pulled him back in and blinded the men of Sodom. In this case, there was no angel to protect them. Because remember, God did not send his angels there because they did what they wanted to do. They were not listening to the voice of God. You know, and I was, as you were reading, when the in the other story in chapter 18, where you talked about they went to the priest and said, and the priest said, then go in peace, the presence of the Lord be with you. He didn't inquire of God. You know, they said to him, thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me and I have become his priest. So they said to him, please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous. And the priest said to them, go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way. He did not pray. He did not ask God for guidance. He just took it upon himself to say, Lord God, go with you. It's all good. Now opening his mouth
okay.
to pray. Because if you stop and think, most of the time when there was prayer asked, you saw the priest inquire of God, you know, through Joshua. And Joshua inquired of God, you know, and they inquired of God. He didn't inquire of God. Because there was no, they did not have God there. They had chosen the idols and everything over God.
My Lord.
You were reading in the story about the Danites. When you go to the life lesson for chapter 18, and it talked about Revelation 7. Verses 4 through 8, and when I went to there, it says, and I heard a number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 1,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000 of the tribe of the Naphtalim were sealed. 12,000, which is the tribe of Naphtali. 12,000 of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Simeon were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Levi were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Issachar were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed. 12,000 of the tribe of Joseph. still 12,000 of the tribe of Benjamin was still 12,000. Because remember, the Lord took Joseph's two sons and divided the land between the two of them. But in here, understand, the Levites got back and Joseph. So Dan is nowhere to be seen in here. Dan is not in Revelation verses 4 through 8 as one of the sealed. Because even when they went into captivity, they did not give up idolatry.
My Lord.
And you think you're like, whoa. And if you stop and think, we don't care about the tribe of Dan ever again.
They're gone.
They are truly a lost tribe. They chose idolatry over God. And even in the last days, when God takes up 12,000 of each of his children, of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Levi, everybody gets to go. Dan is not in there. And I thought, whoa, God does not play, because that means that Dan did not repent. Dan did not ask forgiveness. Dan did not ask for a clean heart and a right spirit within them. Woo, they did not pray.
Hello.
And as I turn it back over to you, Mother.
It said the children of Dan set up for themselves carved images. The tribe of Dan held fast to adultery all the way into the exile. God waited patiently centuries. He waited centuries for them to repent. He said, but they never did. This may explain why Dan is missing from the list of tribes in Revelation 7, 4, and 8. I mean, that is truly, truly amazing that they never did. They never did repent.
Never.
Amen.
Wow.
So you're in Psalm 51, 7, and 11.
Yes, and just kind of going back also to chapter 19 of Judges. You know, and I thought about it. To me, it seemed like I understand it said that she played the harlot. Remember that. And then went back to her father's house, and he came and got her. So, you know, he was a little salty at her, but he's like, oh, go on out there. You know, and think about it. She was raped and abused and murdered, basically.
My God.
And then
cut into pieces.
He didn't mourn her, cut her up into pieces, and send her out to the other tribes. That is like, whoa. You know, when I saw that, it says that when he entered his house, he took a knife, laid hold of his concubine, divided her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And so it was that all who saw it, no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it and confer and speak up. Wow. She wasn't even worth burying. You think about that. That's how he looked at her. And when he got ready to leave, he's like, get up. Now, wait a minute. She's probably a bloody mess. And he's saying, get up. Heartless.
Amen.
He was heartless. He needed God. You know, again, everybody doing what they thought was right in their own mind. He needed Jesus. He needed God because he had no heart. You know, get up. Found out she couldn't get up. He just picked her up like a sack of potatoes. And said, then the woman came as the day was dawning and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was till it was light. When her master rose in the morning and opened the door of the house, and went out to go his way, there was his concubine, fallen at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. And he said to her, get up and let us be going.
My
not,
Lord.
Not minister to her to make sure, you know, he healed, tried to at least cover her wounds, cover, I'm sure, her nakedness. And get up. You done been out with the men all night. It's all good. Because you're nothing to me anymore anyway. You know, it just seemed heartless to me. And when I asked God, I said, Lord, what a word today. And then this is what the word of God says in the 51st Psalm, verses 7 through 11. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. All of the folks in the verses in chapter 17, 18, and 19 need to have been purged with hyssop because it was a whole lot of evil going on. And it says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. If you stop and think about it, there was no joy. There was no gladness. You know, the folks that was the quote-unquote pagans were doing well, and then they came and took their land and killed them. You know, well, their land looks good. It looks all right, so I'm going to go take it because it's supposed to be ours anyway, which meant that for hundreds of years, the Danites didn't do what they were supposed to do in the first place because in the time of Joshua, they were supposed to have taken their land and didn't, obviously. And then decided, well, we want to live better, so let's go spy it out. You know, come on. You should have done that a long time ago. And now here you go coming through during the time of idolatry, because that's what it is, a time of idolatry. God is not in that mess. And then it goes on to tell us, and it says, make me hear joy and gladness that the bones of you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, oh God.
My Lord.
Steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And I love this word in the Dr. Stanley. God, again, God, that's his humble soul. What an awesome man of God. He said, what should I do when I feel distant from God? We ask God, do not cast me away, that not a believer alive today has avoided those desert times when he or she just didn't feel the presence of God. It's a problem that all of us have to confront as some along the way. Even King David, who was a man after God's heart, Acts 13:22, knew what it was like to feel isolated from God. No doubt it's why he wrote, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. In Psalms 51:11, many factors can make us feel distant from our Heavenly Father. Many things can make us feel distant from God. God wants to love on us. God wants to hold us. God wants to make us whole. But so many times we forget and we go our way, say, oh, well, it's all good. You know, it's not all good.
My Lord.
We forget God, it's not all good when we let our hearts become distant from him. And it tells us many factors can make us feel distant from our Heavenly Father. Sometimes it's a matter of our accuser, the devil whispering in our ears and speaking his deception. At other times, these distant times turn out to be seasons when God is trying to bring us closer to himself. But sometimes it's a matter of our need do some inner house cleaning. Come on now. Nothing can make us feel more distant from God than our own unconfessed sins. While our troubles don't make God love us one bit less, they do drive a wedge between us and him, much like some offense can drive a wedge between even the most loving and devoted husband and wife. Absolutely. Secret. Folks not telling. Folks doing their thing and not doing what God said do can drive wedges in marriages, children, whatever it may be, where people, you know, the word of God says the husband, not Father God, Father, in the husband, in the wife, in the children. Wives cannot put their children over their husband. And so many times, we all have been guilty of it. Many wives have. I raised my hand, and I had to go back and repent. Because we have got to follow the way of God. And so many times we don't. But I'm not going to say if your husband is beating the absolute tar out of you, you know, but calling it being holy, then no, that's a whole different ballgame. That's not of God. And no, you got to put your children's safety ahead of that husband when it comes to that situation. You got to give it to God and you got to get out. The bottom line is, in this day and age of sin, this planet needs God. We need to ask God for clean hearts and right spirits on this planet. I renew a steadfast spirit. We need God. You have so many people running around talking about, well, I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I don't believe in all this stuff. I believe there's a higher spirit, and I don't believe that you have the only way to get to God is through Jesus. Excuse me. What does the Word of God say? No man comes to the Father but through the Son. And we need to remember that. And then Dr. Staley tells us, throughout the book of Judges, we read how Israel had sinned and drifted in its devotion to God. Many times when our hearts become entangled with sin and the things of this world, God allows us to experience a feeling of distance between him and us. This is exactly what Israel felt in those dark days. Israel should have recognized the Lord's coolness and lack of nearness. Instead, the people of God continue to worship Baal without regard for God's intimate love for them. Therefore, God allowed them to experience a time of testing. In Judges 6, we read that Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 6, here we see at work an important principle regarding repentance and regaining favor with the Lord. When we realize our error and cry out to God, he comes to us. He never comes, however, as being summoned by a superior. Come on now. Oh, let me call the mighty God. No, God is not your ATM. God is your friend. God is your father. You should be having conversations with him every day. You know, oh, time for God right now because I'm going to the club. I don't have God for right now because I'm going to the boat. I don't have time for God right now because it's not Sunday. So wait till Sunday, then I'll call on God. Oh, God, what should I wear to church? Excuse me? We better understand. God is not a sometime friend. He's not that sometime friend that only shows up. You know, we are the ones acting like the sometime that only shows up when they need something, that only shows up when they need you to give them a ride, when they need you to give them food or clothing or whatever they need. Show up, and then we're the best of us. And then they go on about our way. And that's how we act with God. We come sometimes we want to come all loving God, and then after God gives us a blessing, we out. Peace out. We done. And that's not God. He doesn't like that. And then it goes on to tell us, Dr. Stanley says, when we realize our error and cry out to God, he comes to us. He never comes, however, as being summoned by a superior. He comes when our hearts have been broken and when at last we realize our need for him. When we humbly confess our sins and our dependence on him, he hears our prayers and brings deliverance from sin. Judges 6 and 11. If you are experiencing a time of coolness in your devotion to God, don't hesitate to turn to him in prayer. Confess sin and ask him to restore the sweetness of his fellowship to your heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Psalms 51, verses 10 through 11. Proverbs 14, verses 33 through 35. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known, as we're seeing it every day. Every day something is going on. Folks getting fired. Mm-hmm. All kind of stuff. Folks have been absolutely foolish. Righteousness exalts a nation. Can we say amen, Mother? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. Chapter 18, verses 24-43. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, how hard is it for those to have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And what he was talking about, rich young ruler, who was asking in yesterday's lesson, and it says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God.
Amen.
You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And again, and when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it, one more time, for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Again, when we leave this earth, Mother, none of the stuff you've got to get over to. You can't take your clothes. You can't take your shoes. You can't take your bank account. You can't even take your children. You can't take anything with you. The only thing you take with you when you leave this earth is your soul. And it says, and your heart, and is your heart clean? Have you asked for a right spirit from God? And those who heard it, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parent or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will deliver to the Gentiles. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Who went by warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. People, when he saw it, gave praise to God. And
my Lord
tells us in this life lesson, Mother, 18-34, they understood none of these things. Why did the disciples so frequently misunderstand Jesus' words? Can we blame faulty expectations, disobedience, or some other cause? Luke says the truth was hidden from them. Those who really want to know will persevere to reach understanding. And we got to ask for understanding. We get what we get, but what in the getting, we need to ask God for understanding. When God gives us a word, ask him, Lord, help me understand what this means. Help me to know your ways, not my way, but your way, God. And watch God work in your life. Watch God work and do whatever it is he calls you to do. He will always equip you to do it. If you are called to evangelize, he will equip you to evangelize. If you are called to teach, he will equip you to teach. If you are called to minister, he will equip you to minister to the brokenhearted, to those that are in need of more time with him. We thank God for this mighty word he has given us this morning. The good, the bad, and the ugly of it. But it was all God's word. And it's to help us to know, again, think through the history repeated. Unhospitable. That is what causes so many things to happen. It's the inhospitality. They were not hospitable. Just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were not hospitable. You were supposed to be able to open your door to a traveler, let them in, spend the night, furnish them with food and water and whatever they needed, and then send them on their way in safety. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. And needless to say, they lost their blessing. The tribe of Benjamin was almost tore up from the floor up. That it was to the point where they were not going to have wives, they were not going to have anything. You know, as we get ready to read further in our left, tribe of Benjamin was almost decimated. And God did not allow it because of prayer. We got to pray until something happens. As Sister Carolyn tells us all the time, we got to learn how to push. And our word for today is you are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of his divine plan. Have a worry-free Wednesday. Oh, man. Amen. Amen. Have a worry-free Wednesday. And those that are listening this morning, you are here because God meant for you to be here to hear this word. Again, we ask God to collectively create and individually create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. We all need that every day, a renewed heart and a steadfast spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Mother. We are almost done. If there's no one that needs to speak or wants to speak, now is the time to push that number one on your phone or call 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597. You can call that number to listen in to the show, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio and type in Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. Those are the ways to listen to this show. Or you can go to Facebook or Twitter. And Twitter is Minister, M-I-N, Minister underscore B, Talks Word. And you can find me there on social media. And on Facebook, it is a private page. So until I am able to set up the Moving Forward page, you can't use Facebook. Only friends and family can. But thank you so much, family. Mother Valerie, in love with the word of God. And our word for this morning, as we get ready to wrap up our prayer, our 365, is beautiful reflection. One thing I ask from the Lord is only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. The 27th Psalm, verse 4, NIV. Holy One, you are the one I live for. As I seek after you with all my heart, the desire to know you grows ever stronger.
I am so grateful for a relationship that I can now know you and follow you all the days of my life. Lord, I ask for a fresh revelation of your beauty. I want to see you in a way I've never seen you before. Fill my heart with the knowledge of your goodness. There is nothing that you give of your generous heart of love that ends up being meaningless. You are full of so much grace and goodness. I could never take it all. Lord, may my life be a beautiful reflection of your life within me. Your ways are perfect, and you are making me more like you by the day. I am so grateful. Keep it coming until I stand with you in your forever kingdom. And the question for this morning to reflect on is this: how is the life of Jesus reflected in your life? What a mighty, awesome word God has given us this morning. Again, create in me a clean heart, oh God. And again, if there's anyone that has a word and would like to speak, now is the time as we get ready to wrap up. Mother Valerie, like there's nobody
I'm here.
Has pushed their hand up. So I believe it's time for us to say farewell. So, Mother, as we pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, Mother, I pray over you and yours and family. I pray over all of you that you have a blessed and wonderful day, that you ask God, as I have asked God this morning, Lord God, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Yes, I pray for all of you. Wrap up in Jesus' name. Thank you so much,
you know,
family, for listening in. I give it over to Mother Valerie to wrap us up this morning.
Pastor, what I was looking at, it says, for it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Do you know how big a camel is? Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But with God, it might be impossible with men, but all things are possible with God. I mean, that's amazing. A camel to go through the eye of a needle. And then this rich man, he was saying, I have done everything, so what do I lack? And then God told him, there's one thing that you lack. Give up everything that you have. This man was very sorrowful because he was very, very rich. And he wanted to hold on to his richness. So he went away sad. He said, I can't do that. Give up everything that I have just to follow you. And God told him, Jesus told him, if you do this, you'll have richness in heaven. And have eternal life. He wasn't willing to do it. He said he couldn't do that. He'd rather be rich on this earth and lose his soul. I mean, that's amazing that he wanted to hold on to that money at Filthy Lucre. He wanted to keep everything that he had because he was a rich man. And it said, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that's true.
Amen.
Is there anything? It's nothing too hard for our God to do. Everything. God can do any and everything. He can bring you through any and everything. And we have to hold on.
Amen.
To the very end. We have to keep our faith in God. It's all about God. It's not about us. We really have to hold on to God. So when we're going through things, if we can't pray, you get your prayer partner to pray you through. A lot of times, you don't know which way to go, and you don't go to the phone. You go to the throne. And you know what?
Amen.
God is good all the time, and it is a wrap. We thank you, praise God.
It's a wrap.
Thank you for doing all the things that you do for us, and we're going to continue to give you high praise. It is a wrap. It's a wrap.
And we thank God. It's a wrap, Mother.
thanking God for another day, thanking God for his great and mighty word. If you get time, family, come join us again. We'll be here tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, reading and moving forward in God's word. More word, more God. Hallelujah. So we are going to keep praises going up so the blessings keep coming down. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God's light shine upon you and give you peace and a great day. Have an awesome, worry-free Wednesday, as Sister Carolyn said. Mother, again, it's a wrap. This is our final closing. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.